Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
G'day guys, welcome to another episode. Before we get too far into it, could you please like, subscribe, share, comment, literally anything that you can do. It'll help out a lot. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode, and today we're here with Ivan from Earthworks Hub.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So at the start of every single episode, we do the same shit, which is tell us who you are, what you do, anything. But then why you'd be sitting here in this chair having a bit of a chat, and take it away, Ivan.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. Thanks for having me. You know what? It's funny because I'm usually on the opposite end of the table. I'm the one asking questions, so it's a little bit – it's a little bit different for me. This is the first podcast where someone's actually asking me questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's my first one where I'm the guest.
Well, I'm taking your virginity. You're welcome.
That's it, man. That's it. No, I'm happy to do that. Look, you know what? It's basically people – I actually don't even know what to call myself, like what I do. So Earthworks Hub, it's like a platform for everyone in the earthworks industry to come in, and what I wanted it to do was to actually be a source, like a hub. That's why I called it the Earthworks Hub. So anyone that's, you know, in the earthworks industry or construction in general can come there, and it will be a source of information. So you'll have and that's how I've been sort of building it. So basically, if I go back to the start, for anyone that doesn't know, I used to actually have my own excavation business. So I had that business since 2011.
You had a posi track.
And heaps of stuff. Yeah, I had. I think I had the biggest I ever got was about 8 staff members, 8 full timers, and then 8 or 9 machines and trucks in total. But over that time, I've changed over heaps. Yeah, so if you see some of my old videos and things, you'll see multiple machines there, heaps of workers, as you probably know yourself. Yeah, you turn those over. But I had that. So that was from 2011, and then while I was doing that, the whole time I was thinking, we don't have any support. We don't know who to turn to. Who can help answer questions? You know what I mean? Like everyone holds their cards tight to their chest. They don't give away too much.
I actually get that a lot. Like, I don't want to cut you off, but it's one of the reasons for this podcast. We've spoken about it before. Where do you go to learn about finance? Where do you go to learn about quoting a job? You know, there's no barrier to entry in Earthworks, you know, and there's no platforms where – you know, you can learn. The licenses are, you know, bullshit. You get them in 3 days or 2 days or whatever it is, and then you rock up and you have no fucking idea, and there's nothing on the internet to help you. It's starting to be a little bit more.
It is. And now, look, with social media and access to like the internet and Google, like now, if you want to know something, you just Google it and find it. But in the old days, you couldn't just do that. You had to either ask someone. And if you go and ask someone, they're like, why is he asking me? Is he going to take my job? So they don't really want to answer.
Is he going to undercut me?
And then that's what it was. Now, obviously it is getting better, and there's more podcasts, there's more access to things. So it's getting better. But
I found that a lot of it wasn't Australian though. You know, like there's a lot of American stuff. Mainly American stuff, but which is applicable, sort of.
Yeah.
But also sort of not applicable to over here?
That's what prompted me a little bit at the start, because I started looking around saying, what have we got in Australia? And like, there was nothing. So when I started, it was the only podcast. But there was already some in the States. And then I used them as a bit of a sample, like to look at, like, what are they doing? What are they talking about? And then just sort of kept going on my own after that. So
when did you start Earthworks Hub?
So Earthworks Hub started about a year and a half ago. Uh-huh. So I remember actually at the start, when I first came up with the idea, I think I spoke to you. I actually called you up, and I remember I was actually working at the time, and I'm operating. I won't tell you what machine yet, because you actually guessed it. And I called you up. I said, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And I said, I wouldn't mind getting you on as a guest. And you're like, well, what are you in? Are you in a posi track? And I was like, yeah, how'd you know? And you're like, I can hear it. And I was like, tick, 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 tick.
Oh,
I was
tracking. Yeah. I can't remember that conversation, but you can definitely hear it.
Yeah, and you're like, I know what you're in. You're in the posi track, aren't you? I was like, yeah, I am. And then we'll talk. And then I remember that you were a bit like, not hesitant, but I remember you were like, what's this all about? Like, what are you going to be asking me? What is this?
I got a lot of requests and over the years to be on stupid podcasts and in stupid magazines, and then guys ringing me up and being like, oh, you know, we'll put a feature in for you about this.
Yeah.
Let's say like Earthworks Trader or whatever it is. And you say, yeah, sure. And then they send you a bill for $6,000 and you go, what? No, yeah. I'm not paying. So then, I can remember at the start, I think, like, you asked me a couple of times on the internet, and I'm like, I'll just hold off a bit.
Let's see
how it goes. And then I think I contacted you and said, come on, we'll do it,
that's
man.
Right.
You know, because it's always hard to be the first as well. Who was your first person on the podcast?
First one? Well, the first one I did was I just spoke about myself, what I did. So I just thought I'll give everyone a rundown of who I am, what I did. And then who was my first guest? I can't even remember now.
I should have done that, Louis. I should have done myself as the first guest and spoke about myself. We might have missed opportunity there.
There you go, man. I just did that just as an intro to say who I am, who am I.
Yep.
And then I did another one on running an earth-moving business, and then after that I started having guests. So I think, I don't know if it was that little young guy, Ollie, Earth Bull, I think I had him on there, or someone. Yeah, it was him. Yeah, it could have been
See how good he is in the
good,
corner?
Man. He's quick.
That's why I got him.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I think he was on there. Yeah, and he was good because he was doing a lot of filming in that himself. And then he's the one that actually said to me, you should get a drone and start filming yourself. And
how many episodes you done now?
117 episodes. 117, man. So it's a lot. I think they say that the most podcasters only last like 5 episodes and then they die off. So they reckon if you can get over 5, then that means you're going to make it.
Far out. There I'm fucking winning.
You're in, mate. You're winning, yeah. But you know what? It's not easy. Like, people think it's easy. Like,
it is not easy,
you just go and
man.
Chat to people, or you do this and, you know, you make a video, but there's a lot more to it.
Like, it's a commitment. So I've committed to 50 in my brain. I'm going to make 50 podcasts. I don't know where it'll go from then. We seem to be going all right, you know, we're ramping up a little bit in terms of, we were just saying about the subscribers and stuff, and some of my views, you know, like Instagram channels getting 1 million a month.
That's big.
Facebook, I got 2 million in the last month, I think. And then 50,000 or something, I think, on YouTube in the month.
That's good, man.
Ramping up. And so hopefully with some big guests on here, such as yourself, we'll you're bigger than me on YouTube,
I don't know.
And so one of the other things that I wanted to turn you around to is that 117 episodes, 18 months of talking to people about the industry.
Yes.
You know, from a guy who did had eight employees and machines running around and everything like that, you've got a very different perspective now.
Yes.
What have you seen that, and what do you find interesting in this, the trends and, you know, both historically and what you're seeing coming in the future from being able to talk to all of these people?
Man, there is heaps. I've learned so much stuff. Some of it I've really sort of knew, but there's a lot of things that I didn't know. The main thing I'm seeing, and there's a big trend, is people starting off small, so starting off on their own, and then everyone has this big dream that I've got to build this mega company. So everyone wants to be, you know, be a Starbucks. But then a lot of guys get to a certain point and then they return back to working for themselves again.
Yeah, 10 to 15 guys.
Yeah.
Or let's say 5 to 15 guys, and then they return back to the core of 2 or 3 of them, or just themselves.
Yeah.
And that has been a well developed path. They go bang and then they go bang.
Down, yeah. Yep. And a lot of guys as well I'm hearing lately are happy to just stay in their lane. Like a lot of my guests have said, you know what, I just when I say to them, hey, what's the grand plan? What are you going to do for the next 5 years? A lot of them are just saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay as I am, just flow with the one machine and just keep going, because I think they've either realised that and heard from other people, or they're just seeing that sometimes you think you're going to make a lot more money when you get more employees, but it doesn't actually happen that way. You know? More machines doesn't mean more money, yeah?
it means one thing, more money, more problems.
Yeah, that's the one, man.
Now,
yeah.
what I find interesting, a couple of things, because I've spoken to quite a few people about me, my journey, my pathway, runway, whatever fucking it is. But I started very early. Like my first thing was in 2006 that I registered, you know. Yeah. And then no one really noticed anything of what I was doing before sort of 2013, 14. But by that stage, I probably was running 15 guys a day.
Yeah.
10 or 15 guys a day. Like Instagram was starting to blow up a little bit more around then or, you know, it's definitely been well more than 10 years of Instagram and I've been doing. You know, but people would notice, and I can remember the first photo I put up, I had, you know, it was two machines outside the Vic Market working on the tram works 24/7 and everyone's like, oh, cool, Starbuck.
Yeah.
But, like, no one saw the first part. Now, things that really mattered to me was I was living at home with my mum and dad for the early part. I didn't have to pay rent or a mortgage.
Yes.
I didn't have kids. Makes it real hard.
Yeah.
And not that the money wasn't the driving force. So when you get a little bit older, I think that the money turns into this big driving force that you need, because you do have mortgage, car repayments, you have kids that you have to – but fuck, nappies are expensive.
That's right.
But when I was 21 and I'm killing it or at least working a lot, it doesn't really matter. I have money to invest in the new machines and grow here and pay a little bit more there and, you know, or take the hit from the builder and keep on going back for more when everyone else is like, I got bills, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right. You know? That's right.
So I think that that is a big trend, and because the documenting of that trend didn't happen as much, you know, back then, and now it happens a whole lot more. I think that there was a lot of people who still went like this, but it just wasn't out there as much.
Well, I remember that even when I had my first machine and I'd work on civil sites and I'd be telling all the guys on site, yeah, I'm looking at getting another machine. I remember a lot of the older guys would be like, maybe just hold off. And they're like, oh, we've all been there, done that. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He just didn't run it properly. I know what I'm doing. You know, I've really, because before I did this, so before 2011, I was a corporate guy, so I went to uni, did a business management degree. I came from the corporate world, so I wasn't one of those guys that grew up on the farm and was in machines. I was very business oriented, doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, investing, spreadsheets,
properties. I was a spreadsheet guy. Yeah, so and that's what made me originally get into this, because I was watching some of my relatives that are doing this, and back then I was in the office in the factory office environment, same office, same people every day, getting good money. But I'd see them and they're always driving new Hiluxes going out.
Like you're Macedonian or Croatian.
Yeah, half Croatian, half Serbian.
So Serbian.
And they all got trucking trailers.
Who would have thought a Macedonian Serbian bloke in a truck and trailer?
Yeah, there you go, man, yeah.
Long time. I've got some long time boys who work for me still now that have been with me 10 years that are Macedonian or, you know, who's Zelko? You know Zelko.
Yeah, heaps of them like that.
Is there?
Yeah.
He's been working for me full time for about 12, 13 years now, I think.
There you go, man.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'll be able to find out. But so then you were corporate guy, MBA.
Business degree. Yeah, business degree and all that. And then I always wanted to start my own business, because I was like, if I can manage – you know, like 60 factory workers, 15 staff, you know, the laboratory, everything. I used to do a lot. I was production manager at the end of my stage. And I was like, if I can manage this business that well, I can manage my own.
And
set my own hours, you know, the thing everyone thinks. Set my own hours, I don't have to work as much. Maybe I'll set it up. And that's the idea. I thought, you know what, I'll go buy a machine, put an operator in it. Shouldn't be that hard.
What do you think about setting your own hours? Like it's almost a pipe dream that people talk about.
It's not, yes.
But you know, if we're going to be real, I remember when I was going on a holiday, and my missus at the time, I worked 2 months solid, 100-hour weeks back-to-back every single week for 2 months before the holiday.
Yes.
And then I said, okay, I'm good to go on a holiday for 3 weeks now. Now, 100-hour weeks plus,
yeah.
plus every single, and she yeah. told me that. I wasn't counting.
You
I
just keep going, yeah.
I was
yeah.
just trucking along and digging some holes. But 100-hour weeks, you're doing 2 weeks in one. So what did I work? Fucking 2 months. So 16 weeks worth of work to take off three.
Yeah.
I did, you know.
Well, people don't see that though. People will be like, oh, this bloke's always on holidays. Look at him.
I am always on holiday yeah. now. I'll go next week.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to watch motorbikes in Indonesia and going to ride a scooter up the side of an active volcano.
Nice.
No, I don't think it's active.
Yeah.
But it might be active. I don't really mind.
Hopefully not then though.
No, I don't think so. I think it's all good, but there might be a little bit of smoke, but we'll just cruise on up the side of it. And
nice.
There's a little track there.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like it sounds a whole lot cooler than what it is. But in saying that, it could be pretty cool too.
Yeah. Well, look, that's the thing, man. You got to have that work-life balance. But I think setting your own hours, if we're going back to that, people think that I'll just put a few blokes on. And I hear people still say it to me, even in my podcast, like, oh, my dream is I'll put a couple of blokes on, then I can sit back a little bit and go and just look for the jobs, go and, you know, do things in between. But it doesn't actually work like that. Yeah, it's actually a lot harder. And also, when you do start your business, you don't have set hours, so it becomes your life. That's what I'm finding.
It's still my life.
So yeah, it's just part of everything you do. It sort of blends in all in one.
I am 20 years next year that I've been doing it. 20 years. It is still attached to every single facet of my life, from my friends who have been on the journey with me when, you know, like hard times, good times, shit times, you know, rolling in money times.
Yeah.
You know, to, you know, my family who have, you know, my brother said to me the other day, he's 42, three, something. Love him. Don't know his age. Don't care.
Yeah.
But he said to me the other day, I missed out on his 21st and his 30th. Birthday party, because I was digging holes.
Yeah.
It's not like I was out partying.
Yeah, yeah.
But in saying that, he's all good with it because, like, he's killing it in his own thing at the moment. And when you're really an A-team player, when you're really up there,
yeah,
it starts taking over your life a bit.
It does.
How's Earthworks Hub? I bet you that you put in more than 40 hours a week on that.
I do, man. I do, yeah. Well, look, I do those Sunday live shows.
Yep.
And someone just said to me recently, you should do a behind-the-scenes video to show people what you actually do to prepare for that little one-hour show, because people probably think I just turn up and then just talk about topics. But I actually go and research a topic, put together a spiel on that. Then I actually go and look for, you know, what jobs are available, what people – you know, people advertising jobs. So I'll talk about that. Then I've got to talk about if I put a guest on, go research the guest a little bit.
I've been tuning in sometimes on your Sunday sessions a little bit. They're a little bit harder to tune in sometimes because you don't realise your Sundays can actually be quite a little bit hectic sometimes.
Yes, that's right.
But no, I've been tuning in. It's quite good what you do, talking about the jobs. Yeah. You know, a little bit of a shout out for your Earthworks Hub lives, you know, like
it
goes about the industry, talks about the jobs that are coming. Like, don't get me wrong, a lot of them aren't relevant even to me, a lot of them aren't relevant to other people, but overall, the busier the industry is, the better it is for everyone.
That's it. And then I give people a chance to jump on and ask questions if they want to talk about things, and everyone jumps in and helps each other. And this is Australia wide, so you've got guys from Perth telling us stories from there and what's happening there at the moment. And then, and that was the whole point of Earthworks Hub. I wanted a place where guys can talk about their stories and share experiences they've had, what struggles they've had, so that everyone can see. And what I'm finding is we're all in the same boat, man. Everyone's in the same boat. But instead of me ringing my mates like we used to, all the subbies will ring each other. Oh, this is shit, man. I'm going to give up next week. I'm selling all my machines. And next week it's like, oh, I'm buying a new machine. Now I'm doing that live and doing it on podcast and talking to people. And I think that's to help everyone. You know? So
I reckon I spent 3 years on the phone to one of my mates all day, every day, who also drives a truck out there. His name's Tom.
Yeah.
You know, we were pretty close back then. And we used to have the headphones that dangled down.
Yeah.
And like, this is I started contracting, he was doing his own thing, no one ever out on sites. And when we were busy, I reckon we'd sit there 10, 20 minutes sometimes not talking.
Yeah.
You know, just with the just headphones in the cords, you know, and just working away and then be like, oi, still there? You know, I'm running a load now. Yeah. And then
I'm at the Weybridge. Hang on one second.
I'm at the Weybridge. You know, there's some troll at high quality who is going to take, not that the high quality trolls, but, you know, but, you know, they're always arguing with you over something, or the dockets were never right, or the docket machine was broken, or there was a line.
Oh, yeah, 10Ks out,
Fucking remember that line, We were, we did a lot of the work at Black Saturday bushfire cleanup.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big one, actually.
That was a big one. And then I was just out there with a machine and a truck, whatever, but we were running loads. And I can remember one day the line was like 3 hours long. Like, how the, surely your system's broken when it's 3 hours long, and in fact, like, how do you contract for that? I have this discussion with sales reps all the time. You know, there's some fundamental parts of the industry that are a little bit broken.
Yes.
One of them is the contract rates.
Yeah.
You know, that. But then on the flip side of that, everyone, when they're put on hourly rates, don't help themselves to make it. And so it's not even like it's just a isolated event where we could pull out one truck driver and go, hey, bud, you didn't haul the loads, you're out. No. It's everyone. But
it's all in. I'll tell you some stories, man. When I bought my first tandem, I didn't know that game. So they put me, worked for one of the agencies. They're like, you've got a contract job. You're going to go to this site. Yep, no worries. I turn up. There's a whole line of trucks there already. We start going to the tip. These guys are going a bit slow. I'm overtaking one guy. I'm like, what's he doing? Isn't he keen to get paid? And I'm get to the tip. I go in, unload, go out. I see some of the guys sitting at the front. And these are things we've spoken about in the past. And I'm got back at the site. And they're like, where's the other trucks? I'm like, I don't know. I think they're still
on
tip.
You were on hourly.
No, we were on load rate.
Load rate.
But then they still go.
Oh, but they were trying to cook the load.
Yeah, because so they're like, if you go too fast, they're going to cut the loads.
They'll cut the load rate down.
And I didn't know all those games. There's a lot of stuff that you don't know that happens in the back, you know.
So
it's not just hourly, man. Even contract, you know.
Oh, contract.
And then they're yelling at me, don't go too quick, man. Slow down on the radio. Wait.
But in saying that, the plant highs, like, I'd like to say that I've never cut a rate, but then everyone will call me a liar because we've had to cut rates. But, you know, like, plant hires have been fucking dirty with doing that sometimes. I haven't done dirty on a rate, but I know one that, like, There was you were carting internal right out somewhere in the west, out near where you're from, and you're going from this subdivision to this subdivision, same company. The price was loaded, the price was built like this, but then in the meantime they opened up the cross.
Oh.
So instead of being priced on 10 loads, the price was on 10 loads, but they got like 20 loads. Yeah. But they cut the rate to, let's say a trailer was on 1,300 back then, they cut it to 1,100. On 20.
Yeah.
So now you're not even making the money that you did when you were doing the 10.
Well,
you were doing 26.
Yeah.
So you did 2,600 doing 20 loads instead of the 10, two days in one. Then they cut it, but they don't cut it back to 1,300 or 1,400. They cut it back to 1,100. And so you can't blame them either, because I used to be one of the guys in the tippers. Yeah, you know that I used to run hard.
Yeah.
You can't fucking blame them.
No, you can't.
That's why they don't want to fuck the rate.
And
they don't want to screw
what
it
happens,
up.
Man. That's because of those things happening, that's when guys get together and they say, you know what, we've got to have our own little system. And that's what they do. That's what happens, yeah.
And then the hourly guys, you know, cruising everywhere and then never getting the loads. But then the bigger I got and the more I got into, you know, pricing jobs for different people, we ended up – like when I'm sitting down and I'm saying this needs to be hourly, it is wrong that it is contract. There is something about how we priced it or the parameters that you put in place of what we priced that is incorrect and we need to change to hourly. Then we change to hourly and we go from 8 loads to 5. Yeah. And then they go, we're back to contract. And you go, but you know it's based on 10. And they go, we don't care. And then you go,
No, it's true.
So how do you fix that then? You've spoken to as many people in the industry as
how do you fix it?
How do you fix these problems with it? Because there are quite a few problems.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you think if rates are lifted, because that's what we always complain about, rates getting lifted, is that going to make people want to be a bit more fair? And then if it's 10 loads, do 10 loads on the hourly, you know what I mean? Or are they still going to take their time and still milk it a bit? I don't know if that's really going to change anything by lifting rates.
Well, what would you say lifting rates during COVID did to the rates now?
Well, now they've actually, if I look at it, they've gone back down.
Yeah.
They've gone down. And you know what? A lot of people ask me, like, why is it so quiet in Melbourne and stuff? And sometimes I think maybe during COVID we went too far ahead, because during COVID I was flat out. We were busy.
Yeah.
I was flat out.
We worked like 6 months, 24/7.
Yeah. And then I wonder, is that what happened? Maybe we finished everything too early. Like, we just overworked that period and caught up to everything, and that's why it's so quiet.
Like,
now
you're saying, like, supply and demand, the apartments are built, the houses are built, they're waiting for people.
Yeah, now there's nothing new happening because we've just gone too far ahead, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm no economist, and, you know, we're no good at writing columns in the Herald Sun saying about what we think the problems are.
Yeah.
But there definitely is something.
And going back to the rate, like, if we speak of rates, I think – when I look at things now, like, the rates people are getting paid now for some machines and that are what we're getting paid 10 years ago sometimes. They're very low, but hydraulic oil's gone up, diesel's gone up, operators cost you a lot more, machines have gone up, everything's gone up. And then I think, I don't know, maybe there's that imbalance. There's a big imbalance. I don't know.
But then, or like, I counter that with, you know, I'm pretty sure a backhoe United Kingdom or England or something's like £20 an hour without an operator, and then the operator on top. Well, maybe the operator's included, I'm not too certain. I know it's like £20-30 an hour. The rates that they get for the machines are shit, really shit. Now, you said yourself before, which I'm going to throw your words back at you, you're sitting in a corporate job after going to uni for 4 years, you look out the window and your mate who drives a truck and trailer, who has his jobs organised for him from someone else, who has his payments chased from someone else, who all he has to go fill out a docket, tear it out of a book that he doesn't even own, give it in, and then earn good money, is in a brand new Hilux.
That's what it is, yeah.
So maybe the imbalance was before, not now. Maybe the imbalance was that, and don't get me wrong, everyone can make good money, and I'm not trying to shit can truck drivers. In fact, everyone knows I quite like truck drivers. I'm one myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was times that, you know, trucks were doing 10 grand a week.
Yeah.
10 grand a week's good money.
Yeah, it is. You know? It is.
Now, don't get me wrong, lots of costs involved, don't get me wrong.
You know,
a bit of risk involved, don't get me wrong. All of those things, not trying to take away from it. 10 grand's good money.
It is.
You know, you can do a lot on half a million
and if
a year.
Haven't had to actually, it's almost not really like running a business then. It's almost like, the agency's doing everything for you. So,
we try not to, because, you know, there are a few fundamentals that you're missing out on in terms of, employing the person with the truck allowance, is what you're saying, paying it. Like a car allowance per year, and then paying the employee. But there's a few fundamentals that they're missing out on. However, it's really hard, it's really hard. When the rates went sky high during COVID, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And then everyone went out and bought a truck. So we were exploding. I think we went from I can't quite remember the numbers, but I think we had like 600 or 700 active subbies. To by the end of COVID, in 2 years, we went to 1,500. So doubled in 2 years. But COVID was only 2 years ago. So I had 10 years of history and then it went. Now, that also could be my business is growing and all of that sort of shit. Yeah. But, I don't know. It's really interesting, eh?
Yeah. I think it's going to be tough for the next maybe a year or so, I reckon, from what I see. Like, I feel like there's a bit of an uplift now in work and stuff as well. Like, there's already people employing or putting out ads for new operators, estimators. So it looks like there's a bit of action. I'm noticing plant hires are starting to send out messages again. They need more machines and that.
You're still on that list, eh?
Still on the list, man. You know,
I'd never remove anyone. You get my messages till you die.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I still get them. We need you 1.7. I haven't had that for like 10 years, but it doesn't
that's
matter.
That's all right. All right. Just in case you ever want to get another one, know who to work for.
Yeah,
Come on.
That's it, man. That's it, yeah.
So
there is, you know what, though, that going back to that, there's a bit of a difference between people that go and just work for agencies and guys are going to look for their own work, because I feel like you can get complacent. So I know when I had my business, I used to go quote my own jobs, do my own quoting, tendering, supply my own, get everything myself, subby guys in, and you make some good money like that, you know. And then I got complacent after, because I started placing my machines and trucks with agencies and with civil companies, and basically they were just running it for me. They'd tell me your machine's going to be here for 2 weeks. Yeah, we're going to send him over to another job. And I was like, oh, this is not bad. I don't have to actually do anything here. No hunting for the job, no chasing the money, like you say. You just hand the docket in. But then you don't have that flexibility to make a bit of extra money and stuff.
Well, know? In saying that, you're not doing the work for the extra money. Yeah. So how do you have the cherry on top of the cake if you're not putting in the work to put the cherry on top of the cake? Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong, the rates are market rates, which means that you can afford the guy in it, afford the machine, but there might not be a lot of profit there.
That's what it is, yeah. Yeah.
But then on the flip side of that, it's consistent work. You're able to build up on that. Your borrowing power goes up because there's less ebbs and flows in your cash.
Yeah,
you know, it's just cash flow is good.
Consistent work and that,
it's consistent work. Yeah. It's horses for courses. Some people like – so I love quoting work. Yeah. I'll quote anything. Yeah. Tons, cubes, hours, days, bulk price, you name it. I couldn't give a fuck. However – some people don't like that. Like I always wanted that. I never wanted to work on hours because I never wanted to go slow, ever.
Yes, that's the difference too, I've noticed. Yeah, if you're a guy that quotes jobs and that, you're going to be
somewhere. My brain is turned up, you know, like.
That's me, I used to turn up the job sites and go for it, and everyone's like, what's he doing? We're trying to make money, man. I've got to smash this out.
But even when I was on hourly, I was the same.
Yeah.
So even when I was on hours, I want to smash the job.
Yeah.
Right? Which I was mediumly good operator back then. I won't say I was the best. I could throw dirt at trucks, not the cleanest and not the softest.
Yeah.
But if you were a truck in the line, you would, you know, I was at number 8 when everyone else is at number 4.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, because of that, I just always thought if I could finish this, I can go home.
Yeah, the only thing is, though, what I found with that is you get punished for being quick.
Well, so, it depends what the punishment is.
Yeah, because they'd say to you, I'm not going to pay you 8 hours. You finished that in 6 hours.
100%. Okay, no problem.
Oh, shit. Now I've worked myself out of a job. Yeah,
I've worked myself out of 2 hours, but then go deliver some loads of rocks in the evening, on that.
If you can do that,
your truck's hammered. My truck was a hunk of shit, and so it needed a lot of love at all times. There was always something loose, a tyre that needed to be changed, which is another thing. No one changes their own tyres anymore. No one does their own servicing anymore.
Yeah,
you know, like true. I used to service everything. I replaced my own drive motors in 2 machines, did the tracks. So used to cut the chains off and then oxy off every single nut and bolt.
Yeah.
Still got photos and videos of it. You know, burn the shit out of my leg with the oxy and fucking spattering at me. But no one does that anymore.
No. You know what? And that was a big thing for me when I first started it, coming from the corporate world, clean hands. You know, no calluses,
can
no nothing.
Can you show?
Now they're different. Yeah. Now they're different. Yeah, yeah. I'll show you. No, now they're different because it's like I had a crash course. I had to learn quickly because I remember the first thing that went, my first 20-tonner, after about 2 months of owning it, the swing motor blew on me. Swing motor went, that was a 10 grand exercise to change that. And
what
I was
the
like, what? Then I'm like,
swing motor.
And then
where is it?
Yeah, the mechanic comes in. Yeah, that's going to be 10 grand. I'm like, did you say 10 grand? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to learn how to do this fast. And I'm like, going out Googling, do this, do that. I was like an instant mechanic. And
I had another big helper of mine was a guy who lived around the corner from me. He's about 10 years older than me. His name's Jason. He was such a big help to me back in the day. He was very mechanically gifted for 95% of the job.
Yeah.
So he gets you 95%. Now, there might be a bolt left over at the end, but that's okay. Or like you might, you know, slap this bit back on. Or like let's say we replaced a door because the door, it swung open and it smashed on a tree.
Yeah.
This actually happened.
Yeah.
The door latch just wouldn't work quite properly all the time, but don't worry, we pulled the latch off and you just pull the lever inside the door and then she'd open.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But he gave me the crash course and everything. We never fixed nothing. We never sent it off to get fixed.
Yeah,
we always fixed
it.
I can remember rocking up and obviously, you know, this was a long time ago, but we had to get a machine to a job, me and him, and we didn't have the money for the float. It was a long float. And we're looking at it and he's like, hang on a second though, I got a beaver tail truck. We'll cut the chassis. We'll weld on an A-frame at the front, Bartlett ball, get it all going and take it to the job. We did. Over the weekend, we built a trailer on the beaver tail to put a 7-ton on and got it up there.
There you go, man.
Because we had welding wire and gas. That's, I don't know if that happens as much these days. I'm sure that it does, but then you don't want to go too far into that either, because then I started to realise I'm spending all of this time, you know, spinning spanners and I'm not actually digging holes.
Yes.
And so then I bought a newer machine and left the older one over there, and then I'd fix that when I had a little bit of time, but the time was never there. And so it's just this, as you, the journey through business as you're building, you know, like when your first swing drive goes, you're starting to replace it yourself.
Yeah.
When the fourth one goes, you better by fuck have gotten good enough that you can pay someone to do it.
Yeah, because you don't want to be doing that. And this is in the corporate world, so that's probably called like a value add exercise. What is it actually adding value to what you're doing? And that's where a lot of people will waste a lot of time on things that they could be giving to someone else, like you say, and off to making money in another way.
Well, it takes you six hours to do it. It takes a professional 1 hour to do it. Or in terms of me, I changed the drive motor on a 3-ton. I've still got photos of all of the bits pulled out, and it lasted 30 minutes and I blew it and then had to do it again. And so it ended up costing me the exact same amount that I got quoted, you know, because poor man pays twice.
That's what happens too, Yeah.
But did you change the swing drive and get it working?
No, I gave it to someone to do it, So it was a pain. But also, you know what, networking is a massive thing. So like you just say, if you can find the right people, so like this mechanic that I found was awesome, and he used to actually help me, show me what he's doing, so that if it's something that I can possibly do myself and not have to call him and save a bit of money, also probably easier for him so he doesn't have to keep coming out. But he'd show me stuff. So you know, some mechanic wouldn't do that.
What was he showing you?
So, like, he'd show me, like, how he's taking something apart, how he puts it back together. Even, like, building the hydraulic pump, I had that go a couple of times. By the third time, I was like, oh, that's right. I remember what he was doing. I was doing it myself, changing over the little O-rings in there, putting that together, whereas I would have had to call him, wait for him to come. So I just did it quicker myself just to get going the next day, you know, I mean, to start work again.
Yeah.
Whereas other guys wouldn't show you that. But then you also got to work out, is it worth sometimes that time doing that? You know? So,
100%. I also wanted to lead on to something else, which is when you're doing these sorts of things, like a lot of people, I've copped a lot of flack from both sides, people saying, oh, one, you don't give a fuck about your business anymore, from me. You would have copped that too.
Yep.
And then the second part is the value that it actually brings.
Yeah.
So you're also not sitting there as this, what's the word, altruistic, where you're sitting down and giving back to the Earthworks community.
Yeah.
Like there has to be something in it for Ivan.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right.
So I've noticed you've got a few more sponsorship deals happening and stuff like that. Do you think that that sort of stuff is finally taking off?
It is. Because initially I started it as like just an avenue for people to you know, give them information and that. Then I was like, if I'm doing all this work, I need to get something back for this. I can't be just doing this. And look, that's why I still freelance operate. I still operate a couple of days a week to try and like, you know, keep the cash flow going, because it's not a self-sustaining business yet. Like it doesn't make enough.
Is
to
it
say,
getting closer?
It is. Yeah. And the thing is I can see it and I just need to keep going now. And then, you know, it's like, if I stop now, it'd be a shame. So it's like I've got to keep going, you know.
I had a like an endorsement, sponsorship, whatever you want to call it, deal come across to me which the other week, which was not bad. And it was, I think it was 9 pages of legal shit that came across. And you like, you go, hell yeah, I'm getting it done. And then you look at it and you go, yeah, I can't get that done. Hey,
yeah,
like,
it's true,
you know. And then, you know, you also, I keep leaning back into it because it's actually quite a challenge. Like if we're in, let's say, makeup, if we're in fashion and you had your following and you had the engagement that you do, people would be sending you free shit flat out.
Yes, yes. You know,
free clothes, free this, please do an unboxing on your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like – because you know the scale isn't there for us in terms of
it's not. And I thought it would be like that. That's why I actually got rid of the machinery, and I thought I've got to slow down. I can't be running my excavation business properly and then focusing on this. So I thought I'll slow down on that. Sold a couple of investment properties. I thought I'll live off that a little bit till this builds, and then this will take off. I'll be on YouTube making money. This will be – it'll be all taken off and doing really well. But it's not as easy as I thought. Yeah, like it's not as simple as it looks. There's a lot of editing. There's a lot of – and when it comes to sponsorships and that, you've got to convince people of what you're doing.
But the sponsorship level is shit too.
Yeah, it is. And people want everything for free too. I noticed they think that – you know, come and film my stuff, and then I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll come and do it. But what are you going to pay me for? Like, I need to make some money on this.
We had a few years ago, we had a brand that me and my friends were trying to get together to like help us. Like, we're promoting the shit out of their products. I've got a decent following on Instagram. You know, decent sort of level of engagement. My friends, all of us together, we were probably. Oh, I think, you know, let's say 5 of the top 15 sort of numbers in the world.
Yeah.
And we went to them and we said, listen, we're after some support, like together as a group. We're after some support. We all buy your machines anyway, looking to buy some more machines and whatever. And they said, oh, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And you go, what? You don't do that? Oh, no, we don't have to do that. And you go, no, you do have to. Like, but that was... And then do you know what ended up happening? We bought more of the machines anyway.
You know what? I've got a feeling, without telling me who it is, I have a feeling it might be the same people that I approached about stuff, and they were like, no, we don't do that. We don't need to do that. We don't do that stuff. And I was like
– I tell you something, they will need to do that.
Yeah, it could be the same company.
That's you, you like, watch this space. Yeah. Watch what's happened. There isn't an industry that hasn't been touched by social media.
Yes.
Apart from really construction.
Yeah.
Construction industry hasn't been sponsored. Like, I have no idea what, like, I follow some bricklayers. Why wouldn't you give them free bricks?
Yes.
You know,
yeah, but get your name out there. Yeah,
they pump a million bricks, you know, like a year or a month or I don't fucking know.
It's funny you say that because I thought I'd be getting all the OEMs jumping on, everyone would be coming in. But then someone actually said to me, you'll be surprised, and this is a guy that does it for another field. He was saying to me, you'll be getting approached by companies out of your industry, like sunglasses, you know, hard hat stuff. They won't even be like OEMs or machinery guys. And
I've been offered a recruitment company to sponsor this.
Yeah, that's what
– A recruitment company. I don't even use recruiters. That's why I do this in the first place. Yeah. But then they said, oh, no, we'll sponsor it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we spoke a bit about the money, but I'm not interested in that sort of money, and I'm especially not going to – I don't know, brand my T-shirt, Starbucks recruitment some shit. But, you know, it's really strange, eh?
Yeah, and that's why it hasn't grown as quick as I thought it would. It's grown quick for 18 months, whatever. It's gone
– Yeah, you've
done well. Hub's gone huge. And I've been expanding on that. So as I find things, like I've been putting – what I always think about is what did I need when I was running my business?
Yeah.
So I always think about tip sites. Every time you get a job, you don't know where you're going to tip something. So I made a tip site section on my website. So you can go on the website, look for a tip site nearest me, and it will give you a list. Then I thought, oh, I need a directory on there so people can put their businesses on there. So I've been evolving on that. And then you think that people would be like jumping on board and going, yeah, I'll put my business on there, no worries. But it's funny, people don't action on it. I don't know, it's weird.
It's, but is it at the start? Remember you said that no one was willing to help out, you know, and help train or teach or whatever, like the tip sites. How many people did you go to and say, hey, do you want to put your tip sites on? And they're like...
I mention it every week and no one does it.
Yeah. Not one person has probably done it.
But I see people going on to look at it, so people are going in to look, but no one adds the new ones in. It's like they keep it... I don't want to say anything. It's crazy. I don't know.
But it makes no sense either, right? Like some of these tip sites are doing 100, 200 grand a day in just dirt.
Yeah.
You know, actually more.
Depending
on what sort of dirt. We're not talking contaminated dirt. But, you know, you would think that if you could gain 10% more of the market that you would be.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't see it. And I can remember sitting down and saying, like, At the stage, I was one of the bigger ones in Australia. Let's say I was top 3 or something in Australia for my following. Like, If I was top three in Australia for like anything, real estate or whatever it is, I'd be invited here and there everywhere and, you know, come do this or come do that or, you know, getting sent free shit. I got free socks once, you know. The Explorer sent me free socks.
There you go, man.
You know.
But it is funny, you're right. Maybe it's the industry. Maybe it's just how it is.
Nah, do you know what I think it is? It is the fact that we've bypassed like smaller up. Like, you know, companies like High Smile or whatever that are coming and, you know, who have created that brand endorser influencer shit.
Yeah.
You know, but what's actually going to happen now is it's going to change, and I believe it's going to change in a decent way because there are players in the market and there's things that are happening in the market which is different.
Yeah.
And so because of that, the old style of we don't have to.
It's changing, yes.
That's going to change it can't stay. But by the time it happens, it's going to be too late, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I also did this too. I thought, you know what, social media, marketing, it's the future. Internet, AI, all that stuff, it's the future. If I don't jump on board now, am I going to miss the boat? You know
well,
what I mean?
I've been speaking about it a lot, and I'm sure that you would have seen the same thing. Let's say you started your social media going hard at 2015 or 17 or something like that. I was probably a bit earlier, but, you know, early whatever it was. Back then you could take photos of a digger. I remember me and a few friends of mine started Booms Up Friday when we parked the digger.
I think I did a few photos as well.
Yeah, and I went around the world and, like, helped launch my following a little bit because a lot of people were tagging me to reshare the posts. It was when the stories started to come out on the thing that
–
and then because of that and because of how it's jumped through that now, like, this high-quality content, I was talking to the ground level Andrew – Your high-quality content's lost, and everyone's used to seeing these awesome edits with the fucking drone everywhere and everything else. Man, my most viral shit was a Boom Up Friday, you know.
Now it's like, you got to spend money on a media person to come out.
Huge money.
Yeah.
And then you'll get 50 likes or 40 likes, and one's your wife, one's your eldest kid, and two of your mates, you know, 10% of it is that. And so when I sat down and I started to talk about what I'm doing on social media, we did it at the end of last year. We did it for a few different reasons, but the personal branding sort of stuff is now starting to come to the very front.
Yeah.
Like, and if you can be at the pointy end of it.
Yeah.
If I can be the Booms Up Friday for personal branding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll go to the next level again. Like,
It is like that. Yeah.
Oh, I got 1,500 followers in the month or something on Instagram, which is the most followers I've got like in 10 years, you know. Like, I think it took me 4 years. 3 or 4 years to go from 45,000 to 50,000.
Yeah.
Because it just like died.
It's you couldn't get engaged. Like plateaus for a bit,
And then she ramps back up again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But that's the thing though. Nowadays, social media is a big thing. And I talk a lot about that in my podcast and that. And now you use social media for all your advertising now. Like people used to say, I don't post on there. It's rubbish. I don't need to post on there. But people are actually winning jobs and getting work, and because it's like you're advertising what you can do, and people now look you up and say, "Oh, let's just have a quick look at his posts," and they, "Oh, look what he does: detailed work, does this, does that." And you think, "Oh, that's not bad. Does basements? Oh, cool, yeah."
I bought it up a couple of times before, but I don't think we made a clip from it. So here you go, Louis. This one's the perfect clip for you.
Yeah.
If in the 90s or early 2000s you sat down next to your mate and said, no, I'm not going to put myself in the yellow pages, mate. Yeah. Yellow pages are stupid.
Yeah, what is that?
You know? Yeah. What is it? I'm not going to waste my time in advertising the yellow pages. The guy would look at you and go, you are an idiot.
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah.
That is what the social media
part is now. Yeah.
Like, did everyone go to the yellow pages when they needed a plumber? You know, melanoma?
Yeah, that's the one, man.
You know, get it out and go there.
Yeah.
When you need a plumber, you type it into Google, and then the first thing you click on is usually an Instagram page that you've brought up.
That's right.
Or worse now, that plumbing, like you think it, and then all of a sudden something pops up on your phone for plumbing because they're
listening, man. They're tuned in, man.
They are in our brain.
Yeah, very true.
That's the difference. So if you weren't in the yellow pages, which no one would have ran a business and not been in the yellow pages.
And you got to start it with AAA or AAA so that you get at the front.
The very number.
AAA Starbucks. And it's like, just so you can be the first one.
Isn't that funny looking back? Think about how ridiculous
they had their tricks, you know, to get.
And then I can remember because I started advertising in it, first couple of years or first few years when I started to go out there. I don't think I ever got a phone call from it, and the local paper was huge. They used to call me all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Sponsor, do local papers still exist?
I don't know. We don't even get them delivered anymore. We don't see any papers.
Like the Leader.
Yeah, we used to get the Star, the Leader. No, I don't see them anymore. I don't know. Maybe certain areas, maybe they have their – areas where they're still
probably still in the country, but
the yellow pages will tell you a story. And because I've got the directory on the website, I always say to people, it's like the yellow pages, you just put your business in there and they just look at me and I'm like, yellow pages, And a lot of people don't know what it is. Same as the Melways. I had operators sitting in my tipper that were young, and a couple of times they'd call me and go, hey, I've run out of battery, I can't do Google, or I'm about to run out, I can't see you on Google Maps, how do I get to this place? And I'm like, just get the Melways out of the console. And they're like, the what? I'm like, the Melways, the map. And they're like, what's the Melways? You're like, you'd be surprised, a lot of young people don't know what any of that stuff is.
Louis, do you know what a Melways is? Okay, very good. We got a yes from him.
There you go. Yeah, yellow pages, Melways. Yeah, some of those things you mentioned, and the young guys don't know anymore.
Yeah. Man, that's...
That was changing.
I used to look the night before, and just imagine I got my truck and trailer license, I think I was 19 or 20. I got a letter written for me that said that I needed it for the job and blah, blah, blah. And I used to put a 7 or 8 ton digger on the back of a tag. Well, low bridges.
Yes.
There wasn't where low bridges were, and there wasn't a dangly thing at the front of it. So I can just remember, I used to shit myself. I'd be up the night before, I'd get the Melway, I'd sit down and I have all of the stickers in the top and this is where I'm going. And if ever I was going somewhere, I was worried about the bridges. Southeast was the inner southeast, Warrigal Road and,
anywhere you went inner was – and Telstra, all the power lines hanging down, Telstra cables.
Yeah. And I just used to be so worried that sometimes I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right, like this ding. And I go out, I get in the truck, I drive to somewhere near the job, then I get in the sleeper and I'd have the best 2 hour sleep ever. Because I just couldn't rest. But nowadays there's apps that'll tell you cameras, this is, that is. Yeah. There's apps that'll tell you where the low bridges are, where the OD routes are.
Everything.
And you're sitting on the Melways and you can barely even see the street.
Yeah.
And then you haven't lived until you've got a Melways open on a steering wheel and
It has to be the up-to-date one because you've got an old one and they haven't put the new area in there.
We're always working in the new area as well.
Yeah, so you're like, it's not on the map. It's not in there.
That guy Tom that I was saying about before, one of my mates growing up, he was a weapon at getting to these new areas, Truganina when it first came out. I can remember he's like, I'm working at Truganina and you go,
it's not even on there.
Truganina isn't even a place, dude. You're making it up. And then, but he'd be like, oh, yeah. And then he'd go, okay, come and see me here. And it'll be through all of these back streets that aren't on there, that don't have names, but yet somehow he'd be doing a slab cut in the back end of it.
Yeah.
And now some of the stuff's easy, but in 20 years, are we going to think that it's super easy? It was super easy now?
Well, maybe, I don't know. With the way it's all going and that, I don't know. Who knows?
So you've also mentioned AI a little bit, but as we're coming to the end, I wanted to touch on this sort of part with you because I know that it's something that you think about.
Yes.
Your thoughts. I've been posting a bit about it on LinkedIn because of the we've been trialing some AI estimating and takeoffs.
I've seen that.
Your thoughts on that. What is that going to... Now, AI can't lay a fucking pipe.
It can't, no. But it can help in the process before that. So like you say, I reckon AI is going to come in. People are going to use that for estimating. They're already using it. I talked to some of the guys, some of the regular listeners, and they already use AI to do their estimations. They'll work out how many cubic meters they need to take out, everything all through AI. They just type in all the measurements and it'll work out quantities, cut and fill quantities. They're using that for everything now. You can use AI to – so apart from your estimates, even to do, I suppose, maybe pays and stuff. I don't know. You're going to be able to do everything. You know what I mean? I reckon
– I've spent a lot of money on my system. I think I've spoken to you a little bit about it before, my system here. So it came about I had a scheduler, let's call
yes.
it, a scheduler, because
yes.
I don't want to use the words because – but people already know who they are. But they went from like 25 grand a year to like 75 grand a year like this. They figured out how many text messages I was sending because the text message, you get unlimited amount. The first level of unlimited amount of text messages was 25,000. So yeah. We got that. However, we send about – on a really busy day, we'll send 4,000 text messages. In a day.
Just a couple, yeah.
And that ends up being 20,000 a week. You buy them in bundles of 100,000. I think 100,000 text messages is like a few grand or 4 grand.
Yeah.
But we're buying, you know, we're doing millions of text messages a year and it's worth way more than the 25,000 and we get the software.
Far out, man.
So it worked out okay for us. But then they figured it out and said, you have to go to 75,000. I said, fuck that, we're building our own system.
Yeah.
So we built that. Now we've got our scheduling. We've got our safety and compliance. We're now got most of our accounts for the RCTIs and a few things like that. But my big thing is integrating AI into it so that the AI, instead of necessarily doing that, it can say, do you know where you make the most amount of money? Like, which I don't at the moment. But do you make the most amount of money on this sort of dirt in this sort of area and that? And, like, I don't have sales reps driving around there looking for that dirt in that area. Why not? Because I don't know.
You don't know, but this could tell you, yeah.
AI can tell you. Yes. What sort of, do you make? Yeah. I think that I have customers that I don't make much money on.
Yeah.
Ever. Whether it's through payments, whether it's through compliance, whether it's hours put in, but it can track all of the hours and all of that. So I think that it's going to be able to give vision over business rather than necessarily doing the business. I think it's just going to give you this holistic thing that says that it can take what you do and tell you where you're not doing it well and then also tell you where you are doing well and what you should focus on.
So you'll still have to do the work, but it will guide you. Yeah, it will give you the guides. It does. It does do that. And it does that for me too. If I sometimes want a topic for my podcast – And I'm not sure how I want to say it, I can just type it in. You know, tell me, you know, give me a little 5-minute spiel on this topic, and then I've still got to go and do some of the work and that. But it actually like tells me, all right, you should talk about this. So AI can help you in every aspect. You know what I mean?
I've never used it. If I'm honest, I'm trying to actually. I've got a little bit of a plug. I want a young kid to come on and use and work for me, only doing AI.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I want...
My kids would be good at that.
Yeah.
Apparently they use that for their homework. They use AI for everything.
Everything.
And sometimes they say stuff and I'm like, are you sure you wrote that? Yeah. It sounds too good. Yeah. Right.
But it does like... And I don't think it's like this, like, you know, this ultimate fixer that you get it and bang, your business is going to be great. But I think if you have someone actively tracking or using AI in your business and tracking it on the way up. So as the AI gets better, they use it more.
Yes.
Or they put it into a different way. Then as it grows, it's going to get to this point where someone says, oh, fuck, we need to use AI because, like, I've got to estimate. Let's take estimating because it's been on our mind.
Yeah.
I've got an estimating department and Starbucks has a – I don't want to make it sound like a 19-year-old, but he's got a 20-year-old running a multi-million-dollar estimating department because he's got a Grok subscription.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, they're paying 500 grand for it and I'm maybe paying 100 grand.
Yeah.
You know, which means that now I can be more competitive and, you know, my overheads are less and then we can scale quicker and we can do this and blah, blah, blah. And I think that that's what it's going to get to. But overall, over the board.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, If you're not using AI now or in some way, then you should.
Yeah,
I don't think it's necessarily going to be the be-all, end-all for a business, but I think you should be investing some time in it.
Well, if you look at it, some of the AI features I've seen is people that have meetings often will have AI working in the background so that while they're having a phone conference with someone, it's recording the conversation, so summarising it, all that.
We do a thing called Ask the Elephant, Ask Elephant. So we run it in every meeting, gives us a summary.
Yeah.
I use it for coaching for myself because it tells me we have our Friday meetings and when we're running through it, at the end of it all, it's black and white. It's ruthless with how harsh it is on me.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like, Jimmy, you asked everyone for their opinion, but then you didn't let them give it before you spoke over them.
How good's
you
that?
Know? And you go, oh, shit, I just did that with Ivan too. Jimmy, you didn't fully explain how and why you came up with this. But then it'll say other good things.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you really explained the background, the methodology, the thought, and then an example of what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it, and you got good engagement from the meeting.
So it's actually a good coaching tool if you use it in that way, I suppose, too. Yeah,
100%. It's called Ask Elephant. Does all sorts of stuff. A big plug for them. Never spoken to them. And I pay for it, even though they could give it for free. But, and I pay for it. Those sorts of things there make me a better leader, a better boss and everything else. At least I try. But we're about done.
Yes.
Was there any more thoughts that you wanted to put out there?
Nothing apart from what we spoke. We could talk for hours, I suppose. But, if I could just say to anyone that hasn't gone to see Earthworks Hub, go and have a look at it. We've got the website, earthworkshub.com.au, if I can plug myself.
100% you can.
It's there to be, I suppose, a platform for everyone in the industry to use. So it's not just Earthworks, it's construction in general. But we've got a Patreon page, so I've done that as well to have little chat groups there. Because you've got little chat groups on, Facebook and all these other places, but I thought if it's in one spot, you join Patreon, there's chat groups there. We talk about maintenance, rates, money, finance issues, guys ask each other questions. I've started doing mentoring as well. So we've got a program on there as well. So for a monthly fee, you can get a one-on-one session with myself. And we talk. And it's not hardcore. Like, we don't get into the nitty-gritty sometimes. It can be even if you just want to talk to me about a machine purchase or, to recommend a finance guy or a maintenance issue or whatever. Or you might be thinking about expanding and you want to know what to do next or how to quote something. So yeah, I'm offered that. We've got tip sites on the website, events, jobs, careers, everything on there. So
perfect.
That's what it is. And then we've got the podcast, so live ones and ones where I talk to people just like us, So,
well, I appreciate you coming in. As always, Louis, just for you, like, subscribe, comment, please, share amongst your friends. And last of all, this one's for me. If you could share when you're listening or watching on Instagram or Facebook, that would be fantastic. I probably get 10 or 20 people a week writing to me and saying, love the podcast, love what you're doing, appreciate it. If you could share it to your friends, it allows us to get other people on, bigger guests. And if you want to hear from anyone, please let me know and I'll try and get them on. Ivan, thank you very much.
No worries, thanks for having me.
And I'll speak to you all soon. Thank you.
See you, guys. Bye.